Revelation chapter 13. Last week we talked about the beast that was the Antichrist coming up out of the sea. Let's look at another feller today. Chapter 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up, this time not out of the sea, but out of what? The earth. Now, what is the difference? Notice it is definite article, the earth. And that word for earth is the Hebrew word gi, translated in other locations as land. So, the definite article, land, is also a pseudonym for what nation? The beautiful land, also called Israel. Is this a wink of the Holy Spirit that the false prophet, a religious leader who points and gives credibility to the Antichrist, will he come out of Israel specifically? And he had two horns like a what? A lamb. Lambs don't have horns. He's not a lamb like you're used to. He has horns. But he speaks like a dragon. We know who that is from the previous chapter. That is the devil himself. This creature looks like a lamb, Jewish perhaps. He's from the land or the earth, from Israel perhaps. But he speaks like and speaks for the devil himself. Verse 12. Then he, this false prophet, exercises all the authority of the first beast. We saw him last week. That's the Antichrist. In his presence and causes the earth and all those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Right in your margin there, Zechariah 11 verse 17, where the prophet Zechariah describes the Antichrist as being wounded severely, a wound in the head. He raises miraculously from what should be a mortal wound, which gives credibility to the supernatural nature of the Antichrist. As we said last week, imagine after witnessing the terrible wound of John F. Kennedy, you know, and then imagine, I don't know, maybe 3 days later, what if he came out alive? A lot of people, those who will not receive Jesus, will not listen to God's unction, they're going to buy into it. And he, verse 13, the false prophet, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Most of us non-Jews will skip past this and we'll say, well, okay, he'll have a light show that he travels with. But in Jewish significance, what's the last Old Testament book of the Bible? Do you remember? Malachi. What's the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament? Chapter 4. In the last verse of the last chapter of the last book, what does the prophet say? Watch out for Elijah. He will be a precursor and a prelude to the real Messiah. And what was the supernatural judgment that Elijah was most noted for? Calling down fire. This is a counterfeit Elijah sighting, the prerequisite of the false Messiah. Verse 14. And he, the false prophet, deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Granted by whom? Well, it could be the devil. Or could it be also that the Lord himself allows a supernatural aspect of this guy to come forth? Why would God do that? More on that in a moment. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Write in your margin, the abomination of desolation. Jesus spoke of that in Matthew chapter 24. But let's you and I go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. More to the story. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's check it out. Now, brothers, says Paul to the church at Thessalonica, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. What is Paul referring to? The gathering of the church to Christ. The rapture. Verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a spirit, notice it's not capitalized, or by word, or even by a letter, supposedly that was from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Some of the Thessalonians were concerned that they may have missed the rapture. Paul is saying, you haven't missed the rapture. In fact, let me fill you in more of the story. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you, for that day, which day? The rapture, will not come unless the falling away comes first. That is the Greek word apostasia. Some people believe, no, that's just a falling away from the real church. No, that word apostasia means literally taken away or departure. It could literally mean until the great taking away. And some people say, no, not the taking away. It's the falling away. I submit to you, it's both. When the church goes out, what happens to the rest of the world? It goes very quickly right to Revelation chapter 6. But let's keep reading here. The falling away comes first. And the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or worshipped. He starts out as a political leader, a military whiz kid, and an economic juggernaut. But eventually, what is the devil always after? The allegiance and worship of people. So that he sits as God in the temple of God. Where is the only place the Jews can have a temple? In Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. 3.5 years in, the Antichrist breaks his 7-year treaty with Israel. He kicks out all of the Jewish trappings of the Jewish temple. And he sets in the Holy of Holies a statue of himself. And as we've said before, did you know that that happened once before in Israel's history? In 167 BC, a Greek fella, a guy by the name of Antiochus IV, did just this. Except when he put his statue in the Holy of Holies, it wasn't for him, it was for the Greek god Zeus. That was a dress rehearsal for this event that will happen. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. Restraining who? This Antichrist. And that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains. So something is keeping the Antichrist from coming to the fore. The enemy has been working for a long time to make this stuff happen. I believe the enemy thought Hitler was his man. Before that, all the other various portions of the old Roman Empire that tried to come to prominence. But why were they frustrated? Because they weren't who God said. Somebody is restraining this presentation, this emergence of the Antichrist, and it is the pronoun he. How many of your Bibles have a capital H? The translators are pretty certain the he here is the Holy Spirit. And some people don't believe that. For those who don't, I say get your concordance out or get a good Bible program like Blue Letter Bible. Call up this verse. Ask that to translate that into Greek. And you'll see these weird looking Greek words. And look at the place here where you'll see the pronoun he. And in this location, he, let me back up. Older languages, French is one, Espanol is one. Older languages, and in Greek, you have a masculine form of some words and some pronouns, and then you have a feminine. Sometimes you have what's called a neuter form, which isn't male or female. The pronoun she, does it have a gender to it? It does. Just take a guess. What do you suppose it would be? Would be a feminine. He, the pronoun, is often in the male gender. Only here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the he is neuter. It's a subtlety, I know, but what I think it's saying is, who is the he that is restraining the emergence of the Antichrist? The Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm right, let's read the rest of this verse. He who now restrains this Antichrist will do so until he, how many of you have a capital H there? There you go. And it is also neuter there as well. Until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. He who is restraining the emergence of the Antichrist is the Holy Spirit himself. Because the church itself is not going to allow it to happen. In other words, God moving through the church and people that are prompted to pray, etc. But if the rapture happens, who goes with the church? The everywhere in every believer presence, the Holy Spirit, that began at the birth of the church in the second chapter of Acts. Does that make sense? And he said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. When the church age is done and the church comes out, who comes with him? The Holy Spirit as we now know him. So you mean there's not going to be any portion of the Holy Spirit in the Great Tribulation? I believe so, but it will probably revert back to what it was, like the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. Strategically poured out on one or two individuals at a time. But let's keep reading. Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The Antichrist is trying to do his thing. Except he who now restrains him until he is taken out of the way. But then when he's taken out, I believe the rapture, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Right, Revelation 19, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one will be according to the working of Lucifer. We've been learning that in Revelation chapter 13. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Supernatural events are going to be taking place around the false prophet and, of course, the Antichrist himself. Why am I spending so much time here? Because there just might be some sitting in the crowd today or listening within the sound of my voice that are skeptical. Rapture, huh? End times Bible prophecy, huh? All right. I just don't know if I'm buying it, Steve. I'll tell you what, though. If millions suddenly disappear, then I'll know that what you were saying was right on the money. Then I'll jump in. Please understand that when the Antichrist shows up, he is going to be accompanied with power, signs or miracles, and lying wonders. With great respect. If you can't listen to, if you don't discern the knocking of the door of your heart by the Lord himself in a place like this where there aren't soldiers breaking down the door. If you can't receive Jesus now with the prompting of a gift of the Holy Spirit called evangelism. And another thing that the Bible said the Holy Spirit would do, he would bring conviction. Conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. If you are refusing it now, can I just say to you respectfully, when this stuff happens, it will be very difficult not to believe him. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, these are people who will not receive God, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, what reason? People who are just committed to not listening to God's Spirit, God will send them a strong delusion. Is that what Revelation 13 is talking about? Granted in the sight to give these miracles? That they should believe thee. There's some definite lie that the enemy is cooking up even now. Is it UFOs? I don't know. What if CNN covered a spacecraft? landing on the White House lawn and shaking President Obama's hand. Wouldn't that be interesting? Most leading scientists don't believe in an extraterrestrial being from a long distance away. The real issue is interdimensional. Yeah, don't go there, Steve. Verse 12. That they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why do people not receive the Lord really and truly? It's not because they don't have enough intellectual ammunition. It's because they love their unrighteousness. Now back to Revelation chapter 13. We left off at verse 14, verse 15 now. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? They refused to listen to King Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band. Whenever the band played, everybody was supposed to bow down and worship this image of Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jewish kids, they're not going to do that. And so they didn't bow down. And do you remember what happened? They were picked up and they were tossed into the fiery furnace. And then the Bible says they stoked the fire seven times hotter. They chunked in these three young men. And then everybody was looking around and somebody says, hey, I thought we threw in three fellas. But in the midst of the furnace, there are four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. What a picture. Fiery furnace is one of those idioms, models, metaphors for tribulation of the Jews. There was a furnace of Egypt. There was a furnace of Babylon. There's another fiery furnace coming. It's the Great Tribulation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they represent the people of Israel. And they don't see their Messiah until they're in the midst, if you will, in the middle of the Great Tribulation. So if Nebuchadnezzar is a model of the Antichrist, the furnace is a model of the tribulation, and Shadrach, Meshach, and off to bed we go, they are a model of Israel, and it's in the book of Daniel. Where's Daniel? He's not there. I don't know where he is. He's probably on affairs of state, I would assume. But check the model. You've got the Antichrist, the fiery furnace, the Great Tribulation, and they see their Messiah in the midst of the flame. Where's Daniel? He's not there. He is a model of the church, in my opinion. Check out Daniel chapter 3. Do you know what the measurement was of this fiery furnace? 666 cubits. I'm just saying. Check out all the sixes in Daniel chapter 3. It's an interesting study. To quote John Corson, by the way, you know, be careful when you're listening to the world's music too much. Like Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band, Top 40 Hits. Because it becomes tougher and tougher not to bow down to its idols. By the way, why is the number 6 interesting? All the numbers in the Bible are interesting. The number 2 is the number of witness. The number 3 is redemption. Moses was what child? Number 3. 3's the redemption of God. 4 seems to be the number of God's creation. 5 seems to be God's number of grace. 7 is God's number of completion. How many days in a week? How many continents on the planet? How many oceans on the planet? Visible bands of color in the rainbow? Oh, it goes on and on. In music, etc., etc. If 7 is God's number of completion, 7 plus 1, 8. 8 is starting over, new beginning. How many humans were in the ark of God after the flood? 8. Cool, Steve. 7, God's number of completion. 8, God's number of renewing. Well, what's 7 minus 1? 6. Incompletion. What day was humans created on? I'm just saying. We're not done cooking yet. Six is the number of man. We're going to see here in a minute. You can't buy or sell. You can't participate in the economic system of the Antichrist unless you take on a number of his name. And the number is 666. So you shouldn't stay in a hotel room that has 666 on the door. Listen to me talk. Last time I had to go get my license plate, I roll up to the DMV, and I was in there for 5 years. And have you been in 5 years in the DMV? So I was down there, and I did all the waiting, and then I got down to the counter. It really did happen. So she goes, she typed up all my stuff, and she slid license plate across. And it was 666, letter, letter, letter. And I went, I'm not going to take that. Now, even if I did, the real 666 is you are pledging allegiance to, knowingly, this Antichrist. 666, what's the big deal? Six is the number of man. Three times three is the number of redemption. Man, or a man, redeems. No, God redeems. This is a blatant smack in the face of the Antichrist. I got your Trinity for you, God. And watch the humans eat it up with a spoon. The false prophet, verse 16, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, Republican and Democrat, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now that word for on is the Greek word epi. It does mean upon, and the translators are certainly okay with saying on here. If you have a King James, it says in your right hand or in your forehead. And you can't blame the translators. How could you read a mark of any kind if it was under the skin? A.T. Robinson, who is really one of the great Greek scholars of all time, he says that this word epi, as you take it with the words that are around it in the same sentence, is the same as Acts 1, verse 21, where Jesus came in and out from among or from within them, epi. He says in also. Yeah, you know, I get that. How could a mark be read if it's in and not on the skin? We're all familiar, aren't we, with microchip RFID technology that you can have planted under the skin, a little rice-sized piece of technology that now is powered by the movement of your muscles, which discharges just a little bit of electricity that this little grain of rice-sized RFID transponder can be powered from. Either in the passive mode, where you walk under a sensor that chirps, and then this one responds and tells you who I am. Or in the case of your pets, some of them have transponders that they can actually broadcast a little bit of a chirp. And then that chirp can be read and picked up by satellites in some cases. If you find three geosynchronous satellites, for you trigonometry fans, you can triangulate the exact position. Some of your pets, even now, can be seen on radar. I don't know that it would be a chip. There are technologies now that are dealing with not RFID in the form of a chip, but little baby, really nano-sized fluids that are also encapsulated inside a chip that is not susceptible to irritating the skin. How fluids behave at the molecular level